Boom, here we go. So today is the third day of the challenge, my holiday challenge I put out there. And the basic thing was, the three parts were to know your power, have the courage to dare, and the faith to do. It's based on Charles Hanel's work back in the 1800s. One of the first big, like, you know, science of mind kind of guys, and one of the first guys with the, what do you call it? Science of mind and new thought and law of attraction, a guy named Charles Hanel. But he used to say, if you, what you wanted to do was, you know, first you had to have the knowledge of your power. And, you know, this is the third week, knowledge of your power, courage to dare, faith to do. I did the first two, and then I took a week off because I had an injury and I had to go back to the Veterans Administration and get some work done. I tore Achilles tendon, but that's a story for another day. I don't follow instructions too well, and I keep wanting to come back too fast, too hard. Anyway, so the first one was, you know, knowledge of your power. Do you really understand what your brain can do? We always talk about that, especially those of us in the NLP and the hypnosis law of attraction world, that, you know, we can do all this stuff, but do you really know? And I always preface this with, you may know the knowledge of your power, but do you also know the knowledge of your limits and your belief sets that are holding you back? I mean, that if you believe all of this stuff is possible and you want to attract something or get something in your life and it hasn't happened yet, what's the belief set? What's the thing underneath it that's holding you back? And so you have to have the knowledge of your power. And that's a couple weeks ago. It's still up there. You know, and we talk about that. And also your beliefs that may be holding you back. You know, they may be your beliefs. They may be beliefs that were installed in you by parents, authority figures, or society. But that's pretty cool. So you have the knowledge of your power. Then a couple weeks ago, I did, you have to have the courage to dare, right? First, you have to dare to even admit you want certain things. What is it you desire? What is your desire? Sometimes we have trouble expressing our desires because maybe we're taught our desires are wrong or bad, right? And so you have to have the courage to just say, this is what I want, because another one of my sayings is nothing is either, it's from Shakespeare, nothing is either good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. And I believe all of your desires are God-given. God wants you to have whatever it is you're desiring at the moment, right? And it will change. If you want something really bad today, the moment you get it, you probably will start desiring other things. But that's how the universe experiences the universe, right? You know, if we all want the same kind of car, you know, if Marcia and Marvin and I both want a new Corvette, and we all get new Corvettes, even if it's the exact same car, we're going to have 3, 4, 5, 6, however many people are here, different experiences, right? Because one may like the speed, one may like the look, one, whatever it is, we all experience it differently. So the universe will have infinite number of experiences based on one thing that people want, you know, and so there's no limit, right? And again, it goes back to, you know, there's no limit on certain things. And so that's first that's the second part of the courage to dare to even admit what you want is what you want. And then secondly, the courage to dare is to have the courage to step out and be different than the group. You know, one of my favorite sayings, and a lot of people hear me beat it up, is you may not rise to the level of your dreams, you will always fall to the level of your peers, right? So if you're going to dare to be different, you're going to dare to go after your desires, one of the things is you're going to leave behind some of the old people, you know, some of the old, because they have their own limiting beliefs. And so, you know, we may not want, you know, that in our lives, right? So you have to change. So you have to have the courage to dare, and then the dare to go after it. Because the other big part of the courage to dare, and I said it last time, is how many people that you think will support you if you start saying, I want to do this, they're going to poo-poo you and yell at you and just tell you, who do you think you are, or whatever it happens to be. I know when I teach a hypnosis, basic hypnosis or basic NLP class, now I teach neuro-linguistic hypnosis also. But, you know, I always ask the group, how many people here, their friends think you're crazy because who do you think you are to become a hypnotist or whatever neuro-linguistic programmer is? So you have to have the courage to go after whatever it is you want. right? And so today, kind of a long-winded intro, is the faith to do, right? So what is faith? We always talk about faith, you know, and I think one of the most misunderstood things is the faith of a mustard seed from the Bible. Because then people go, well, you know, mustard seed are tiny. I used to have one. Tiny little things, right? So I only need a little faith, you know, and that's what we kind of take that in. It sounds good. All you need is a little faith, faith of a mustard seed. But if you step back and look at that, when you look at that mustard seed, it's tiny, right? But the only thing that mustard seed can do is become a mustard plant. That's it. That's all it can do. As much as you do an affirmation or do some mojo, Reiki, whatever, that mustard seed will not become a palm tree, right? If you plant an acorn, you're going to get an oak tree. You're not going to get a palm tree, right? And so really the opposite is true. It's not a little bit of faith. It's absolute faith that this is what I, this is it. You have to have absolute faith, not a little bit, absolute, because, you know, that's the true driver, right? Because when we begin to make these changes, you have to, again, have the faith to do, to go after it, to let people know you want it, right? And it's also why, you know, both, you know, in the Old and the New Testament, they kind of say, you know, you pray in private. So in other words, you do your visualizations and you do your meditations and you do all that in private. Because again, family members, friends, maybe people you think would support you would be the ones that will push you down, right? And it's from their own fear of limitations. Lately I've also been saying, you know, everybody's guilty, but it's nobody's fault when it comes to passing these bad beliefs around, right? Because they didn't know any better. You know, I remember I was in college when I went back to school, and I'd already been, you know, been to a professional acting school and acted and got paid for it. But, you know, after I sobered up, it's kind of a cool story. But so I said, well, I'll go back and actually get a degree, right? So I was in my senior year in college, and they had a theater department. So I'm in the theater department because I already had almost all the credits to get it. But anyway, a bunch of us were talking, and including the head of the theater department, and he was always trying to encourage everybody to also get an education degree, right? So get your theater degree, and you have subspecialties, you know, stagecraft, lighting, costuming, and then directing, and then acting, besides your, you know, whichever way you went in that, but also to get a teaching degree. And so we're in this thing, and everybody's talking, and he's telling people that. And so someone said, well, why would I want to go and also, you know, get a double major to become a teacher? And he goes, well, you know, so you can make a living. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. And he's head of the theater department. He's got people there taking acting classes that say they want to be actors. And so I remember this other person said, well, why are you teaching us to be actors if you don't think we can be actors? He says, well, you could be an actor. And you know, he was passing on his limiting belief, you know. And he'd never went after being an actor, never went to New York or LA or auditioned or done that. You know, he got his, acted in high school, went to college, got his theater degree and his teaching degree, got his Master of Fine Arts, started teaching college, and now it's 20 years later. He'd never been a professional actor. So therefore, how could he encourage these kids that, you know, and so it was just kind of interesting to watch. And I was there, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is kind of weird, right? And I'd already started to get exposed to this kind of thinking. So I'm like, I do not want this kind of thinking in my head. And so what is it, you know, the faith to do what you need to do and to believe it can happen? And then this always goes back to what's holding you back, you know, what's underneath holding you back. Do you feel deserving of what you want, right? Do you feel deserving? Do you feel that you can get what you want? You know, are you worthy, right? A lot of us, we hold ourselves back and we'll limit it, right? we'll limit it. We'll say, I really want this, but I'll settle for this. You know, well, what does that mean? You know, I want to be a trainer and I want to speak and I want to, you know, train all these people, you know, but I don't want to be, you know, and you'll justify it. I don't want to, you know, be in front of thousands of people like a, you know, Tony Robbins or Brandon Bouchard. I'll be happy to be in front of, you know, whatever it is, right? So you start settling for less. Well, and maybe we were trained that way, going back to maybe a parent or an authority figure, you know, things like that. So we don't get disappointed. But the fact is, you know, when you settle for less, or you start saying you sort of want this, but you instantly do this, well, you also train your subconscious mind that it doesn't need to take your desire seriously, because you really don't want that. And you're not willing to take the steps to do it, you know? You're not willing to take the steps to do it. You want to be a big time trainer in hypnosis, NLP, EFT, whatever, in some kind of self-development, motivational world, but you won't even submit to teach at a conference to get some skill sets built, right? You won't join, Toastmasters to at least practice in front of other real life human beings, right? You won't be an actor, and you never, you won't take an acting class. So you won't even go try out for a community theater to get some things. So what I say is, you know, if you say you want something and you settle for less, that's limiting your beliefs. Or if you say you want this, and I know the only way to get there is to do this and to do this and to do this, you're limiting the way you can get there. You know, my dear friend Tony Robbins always says, he calls it the tyranny of how. You say what you want and you say how it has to happen. And, you know, this is beaten in our heads with, you know, logical thinking and this. So I, you know, if I want to do this, then I have to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And so you limit absolutely everything that could possibly happen. Basically, you take away the magic of the subconscious mind, because you might not be open to the magic, right? Because you think, well, no, that's not going to happen. You know, I want to do this, but... you know, I know I have to do this first and then this first and this, you know, I want to get up here. So I got to write a book. Then I got to do this. I got to write another book. Then I got to do this. Then I got to do this. It has to happen this way. Right. And so you would shut it down. And a story I think about that is there was someone who wanted to become a speaker, you know, and a trainer and do all this stuff. And they thought it had to happen in a certain way, you know, and then somebody kind of worked with them, said, no, just keep holding on to this and do whatever's in front of you. So they made a couple of YouTube videos. They did this. And anyway, he was somewhere, I think, flying on an airplane, talking to the person next to him and about what he does, and exchanged cards, right? Okay, fine. But it was just a casual meeting. And he said, and the other guy was whatever it was. And anyway, to jump to the end of the story, the guy was also best friends with someone, this is how it usually works, who was putting together TED Talks, not TEDx Talks. This goes back a few years ago, the original TED Talks. And so, you know, the guy looked up the guy's YouTube. He had some pretty good little YouTube videos and whatever the subject was. And so he told his friend, because they were always looking for TED, back then looking for TED Talks. And it was just luck of the draw. The guy that he met on the plane's friend called this the guy up and says, well, we really need this. And the person we had scheduled had an accident and couldn't be there. Could you give a TED talk like it was a few days later? Right. And the guy said, sure, I'll be there. He knew enough to not, you know, so he worked on it and he did it. Now, I know you can't do that. People say you can't do that now. Who knows? Right. I mean, how many times you hear about a, you know, someone gets their break in theater because they meet somebody who knows somebody, and then, you know, you get cast, you know. The book, what's the name of the book? But guy wrote a book, and it was just a little book, just being, you know, do, 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 do. And somehow, again, and he the person, I won't name them, said, I knew this book could make it. I just knew it. I didn't, you know, I kept thinking I had to start doing this. Then he just let go of it, say, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You know, I have the faith it's going to happen. And, you know, someone bought the book. He didn't give them a book. Somebody bought the book and they gave it to their friend who worked for Oprah, right? And so she was reading, the lady was reading the book, and Oprah goes, the story I heard is like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's a book I just bought on this. And so Oprah goes, can I look at it? Right? Well, you know, gets mentioned in the Oprah Book Club. It gets this. And well, would that jumpstart your career? I dare say it would. Right? So the person had the faith, but they had to let go of how it's going to happen. They didn't limit it. They just pictured it was going to be huge, and it ended up being huge. And so, you know, so have the faith to do. So what can you do to begin to get you there without really planning it? And what the real faith is to develop the, what you want. What is it that you really, really want? Right? And then jump into the, what we're going to work on is jump into the feeling when you think about getting whatever it is, you know, being a best-selling author, being speaking in front of 1,000 people, whatever it happens to be. And when you do that, if it's a negative feeling, if you begin to feel like you want to pull back and hide, right? I don't want to label whatever the feelings are. Yeah, some people call it shame or you know, guilt. But, shame, guilt, whatever you want to call it. But it's a negative feeling where you want to pull back, like you want to almost disappear. Well, and if that feeling is below your gut, you know, below your solar plexus area right there, if it's more down here, down toward your belly button, right, that's a visceral response that you can't do it. And that's a survival mechanism, right? Because you have all these neurons in your brain that does higher thinking, does all this. You have all these neurons in your gut that its main job is to keep you alive, right? And the ones in your gut are more connected to your reptilian brain, so it only wants to keep you alive. So intellectually, your frontal cortex, the higher parts of your brain, may want to do this, this, and this. But if it fires up the reptilian brain and your gut brain, and it goes, oh, no, go, if we do that, we'll get thrown out of the tribe. We'll get thrown out of the family, you know, because, you know, I was taught, don't be, you know, the tall poppies, get cut down. I was taught to not reach too high because, you know, your wings will burn. You know, we're talking about that, whatever that Greek one was, right? So that's a visceral response where you're going to have to work through that. Right? You're going to have to figure out where those responses come from. And that could be, again, I love the term that we mislearn information as we grow up. And also the people that gave us this information, they might have mislearned this information. So this may go back. That's where they talk about generational shame or guilt, right? It's like, you know, it gets passed on and it's all passed on through faulty mechanisms again. And they're doing the best they can to keep you alive, right? They're doing the best they can to keep you alive. And sometimes it just is, you know. I was talking to somebody earlier today and I told the story of someone I know. They were a casting director and big time casting director. And they also coach actors, right? Very good coach, right? You know, how to get your career going, all that kind of stuff. And she tells a story that she always gets at least once a month, if not more, someone will call her up and say, so you coach actors, right? You help them, right? You tell them this. Yes. Okay, good. What's your hourly rate? Whatever it is. And they go, I want to book a session. She's learned to always get the money up front. So then they come in and it's to work with their kid. And every once in a while, it's like, hey, my kid wants to be an actor. What can we do? And they develop a plan to help them become an actor, take acting class, whatever it is, right? Great. But she goes, at least once a month, there'll be someone comes in, and it's usually a professional, you know, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a business professional, male or female, it doesn't matter. And they have their kid with them and they'll say, so my son here wants to be an actor. Okay. She'll go, okay, well, we can help. Well, I'll tell you where some good acting classes, how to do this. No, no. What I want you to do, tell him the truth, get that bullshit out of his head because he could go to law school because, you know, I can get him to the law school I went. He could be a lawyer. And then, you know, if he wants to act, he could probably act in, you know, but get that bullshit out of his head. You know, he's graduating this year, or he's first year of college, whatever it is. Get that crap out so he gets serious and gets his career. She nods and takes the information in and turns and she calls him little Jimmy. Jimmy, so what do you want to do? I want to be an actor. Why do you want to be an actor? It's our, whatever he says, you know, I feel alive. I'm on stage. I just love it. I have stories to tell. I have stories to tell. I have messages. I want to do this. I can't imagine anything else. Okay, I see that. Then the person goes, see, now get that crap out of their head. And he goes, well, let me tell you the truth, Jimmy. Acting can be a tough profession, right? There's a lot of rejection. You can audition, be perfect for the part, not get it. It's also a field that, you know, luck is important in it, you know? And talent is great, but it may not get you away, you know? I mean, get you there. You know, if you get a break and you got talent, you may stay, but it's just this. But if you really, really want it, and she turns and looks at the parent or the parents, turns back. My true advice is to go after it with all your body, mind, and soul, to put every ounce of your energy and love into doing this. Because if you don't, you will never be happy. You know, and I say, do this. And there's, you know, there's acting classes all over, you know, and then you know, and audition, learn your skill, learn your craft, and go for it. You know, and you may have to have a bunch of crappy jobs. That's why the old joke about all the actors are always waiters, waitresses, or bartenders. Because if you get cast in a thing and you're supposed to be at work tonight, nope, you're going to be at the audition. You're going to be at the shoot, right? So you get fired and you keep doing. So, but I say go for it. Of course, about this time, the person that brought them in is losing their mind, right? But she turns to them and says, well, you asked for my opinion. And I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have my son be a happy, vibrant, loving human being that's struggling as an actor, then maybe becomes a high-paid attorney that's drinking too much, is abusive, and hates his life, but he's an attorney, right? Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what kind of parent you are. It kind of puts a parent on the spot. And when I first heard this story, I was in her class, and I'm like, damn, did she learn NLP and hypnosis? Because she just totally reframed it. And the person's like, you know, so, but she stresses to the person, you have to have the faith to go after it, you know, and then you need to work at getting it, right? And then I'll close this little faith to do. This is also, you want to check those what's stopping you things. Is it shame? Is it guilt? Is it, you know, whatever it happens to be. It's also why you always see people, you know, they'll get a certain level of success, right? And then once you get to a certain level of success, then it's, for most people, it's easier to get to the next level of success, right? You start making, you know, I tell my friend's story, you know, once he made $1 million in a year, he had a pharmaceutical business. He was a drug dealer, he sold pharmaceuticals, had a nice little business. And he goes, once I made $1 million a year, I could picture making more. Then he made a little bit more. And then he goes, you know, I remember I made $1 million a year. And then he got comfortable making $1 million a month. And so it's like, it steps you into it. And it's about beliefs, right? If you're down here making $1,000 a month, can you imagine making $1 million a month? You intellectually, you might be able to, but can you wrap your head around it? Can you, and again, it goes to acceptance. And there's something about getting to that next level that helps you become comfortable with getting to the level after that. So that's what we see in the real world, right? And it's also why you see people get something and then blow it if they don't feel they deserve it. You know, where a lot of people talk about, like, you know, the lotto winners, you know, they win all this money and they have knowledge. You know, I always think of the guy that won almost $20 million after taxes. And 5 years later, he was back couch surfing, as they call it, and broke and owed money. And people go, well, he must have just been stupid. No, I remember this was a case study in psych, and the person had an MBA in financial planning from Stanford, if I remember right. So he knew what to do, but he did something and it didn't work, right? And so whatever it happens to be, or you see athletes, you know, sign a big time contract, make all this money, and then you see them a few years later, they're broke. Right? That one boxer that I remember seeing at one of the casinos in Vegas, he was basically a welcomer, a doorman, welcoming people in. And I'm like, man, he had million-dollar paydays, right? So what happened? You know, again, maybe it's that feeling of deservedness. Maybe it's that feeling of worthiness, of you know, whatever it is. And so, which leads to the stupid mistakes. So, but first you have to have the faith to do, the faith to say what you, you know, first you have to have that faith to do it. So do you have the knowledge of your power? Do you really understand what the magic of your mind can really do, right? Including the knowledge of your limits. This is where people fail, I think. They don't acknowledge what their belief sets are that may be holding them back from getting to that next goal, right? So you have that. And then do you have the courage to dare to step up, to dare to go after it, to dare, right, to be different than your family and friends? You know, and again, maybe that's why you see, you know, the sons of wealthy people or celebrities become wealthy people or celebrities. They're raised in it. It's normal. You know, they're not stepping out of the, they're just following, right? But if you come from this and you want to go to that, it, you know, you got to have the courage to do it. And lastly, the faith to do. Do you have the faith to step up and begin to do it, right? And so just begin to work on those things. That's my little challenge, because we're going into the end of the year and everybody starts making plans for the new year and all this other stuff. So, you know, that's, now's the time to do it. My shameless sales pitch, on this would be, you know, starting the first year, I've got Become an Author Fast coming up. You know, if you want to write a book and never wrote a book, we're going to be talking about writing a book. And, you know, can you write a book in 30 to 90 days? Yes. And I'll show you ways that, you know, I've written, shameless plug. My new book that's been out just for a little while, Habits for Success, right? And then, of course, the standby of you know, Mind Control Secrets, Quantum Psychology, the first book I wrote in 1998, Primary Objective. Of course, a lot of you have read Psychology of Persuasion or Alcohol and Addiction Solution. I don't have a copy of the sales book I wrote with Hogan. And then, you know, The Secret Psychology of Persuasion. So I've written a lot of books. I'm going to share with you ways to do it that took me a long time to figure out. That is becomeanauthorfast.com. And I'm also working on a new course for people that have a feeling of unworthiness. You know, I don't want to call it shame. I just, do you feel worthy? If you haven't gotten a goal that you've really gone after, maybe we're going to work on attacking that in a different way. You know, the feeling of unworthiness, of less than, of I don't deserve this. If you have those feelings, I'm working on a class that will be launched right after the first of the year, so you don't have to stay stuck in wherever you are. That'll be after that. I think I'm calling it the empty heart, right? So, you know, if you have that empty heart, and it's also, I think, the underlying support thing of addictions, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, sex, gambling, right? And all that, which is, you know, escape mechanism because you have an empty heart. That's my thought process. That's what I'm working on. I've just started on that one, right? So I got the becomeanauthorfast.com. That's going to start right after first of the year. And then I'm going to do the empty heart. I haven't worked that one out yet. Stay tuned for more on those. And again, it'll be done, you know, on Zoom, so you can be live if you want, or it'll be recorded and put into either a website or a private Facebook group, so only the people in the group can watch the videos. So anyway, I look forward to sharing this with everybody. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, last year I taught a lot of classes at the first of the year, and then I kind of backed off toward the rest of the year. This year I'm going to space it out a little bit more because I like sharing this information. So if you like this, if you're on Facebook Live, click like and share. If you're watching this on YouTube through my mailing list, click like and share. Please leave a comment. Please leave a comment on Facebook or here and share it. Even if then later on you go onto your timeline and delete it. But if you share it, because that's how things go viral. I'm also going to talk, because I've been learning another class on, you know, how to up your marketing, because you can have great ideas. If you don't know how to market it, well, it may not go that well. One of the things is have people leave comments on your, especially on Facebook Live, and share it, right? Because that puts it into that thing. And it doesn't take as much as people think. You know, if you can get 20 to 30 people to leave a comment, and share it, it jumps into the next level where then Facebook will start doing it. Same with YouTube. If you leave comments and you share the thing, YouTube picks it up, and then it becomes, it's much more likely to go viral, right? And so why not, oh, those of us that do it with each other, why not boost each other up, right? And do it. So, you know, hey, you know, hook a brother up and help me. So anyway, click like and share if you really liked it. Leave a comment. That would be wonderful. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. I'm going to say goodbye to Facebook Live. All right, good. So here, I'm going to add a recording later on for the people that watch this thing on YouTube. Get in touch with me, and I'll send you a recording that works through some of these issues that we're talking about, right, on this class that I'm beginning to develop. So I shall see you all soon. Have a great day.